Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
Alleluia.
We've dedicated our last three broadcasts to a study entitled Man as a Husband and Woman as a Wife. In those lessons, we've noted God's desire for special and specific attitudes and actions on the part of married couples. To the husband, God said, assume the headship of the marital relationship. Provide for your wife. Protect her. Continue courting her. Honor and be considerate of her. Value and appreciate her. And finally, be sweet and tender to the one you chose to spend a lifetime with. Then, to the wife, God said, honor and give your husband respect. Submit to and obey him. Desire motherhood and bear children. Be domestically oriented. Live within your income. Take pride and keep yourself physically attractive. Maintain your femininity. And finally, be attentive to the little things. Now, let us note that God didn't stop right there in his instructions to man as a husband and women as a wife. He continues to give specific instructions for the husband and the wife as a team. It's that set of instructions that is our focus today. First of all, God wants the husband and the wife as a team to love one another. The Apostle Paul instructs husbands to love their wives in various places in the New Testament. First of all, in Colossians 3 and verse 19, Paul wrote, "Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them." Again, the same author, in Ephesians 5, verse 28 and 33, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Then in verse 33, "Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." God instructs the wives as well to love their husbands. In Titus 2 and verse 4, the Bible reads that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. The depth of that kind of love, the kind of love that God wants between a husband and wife, should be like the kind of love that Jacob had for his wife, for Rachel. You remember the story in Genesis. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. The Bible says it seemed but a few days because of his love for her. That's the kind of love that we read about in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It's the agape kind of love. There the Bible, beginning in verse 4, reads, "Love is very patient, very kind. Love knows no jealousy. Love makes no parade, gives itself no airs, is never rude and never selfish, never irritated, never resentful. Love is never glad when others go wrong. Love is gladdened by goodness, always slow to expose, always eager to believe the best, and always hopeful, always patient. Love never disappears." That's the Moffat translation. The majestic beauty of such love is told by an article that I read. I don't know who the author was. It goes like this. "We speak of love, wondering what it is, and I answer, this is what I'd like to think that it is. The most wonderful thing in all of the world where suddenly you're complete. You're one with your wife, and for the first time in your life you truly know her. You live with her from day to day, and you soon realize that her looks mean nothing really. It is her real self that counts. The little things, these are what stay with you. You smile at her across the brim of a crowd. You're thrilled whenever she suddenly appears, and you feel an ache when she's not there. The happiness which flows from being able to give oneself to another of knowing for certain that without any doubts, that at last, finally, you belong to someone. Your love for her flourishes, deepening to such a level that it becomes almost pure. And more than anything else you've ever felt before in all of your life, you want only to give this warmth and security to her. Give it to her with all of your heart and your soul and body. No matter where you are or where she is, in a sense of the word, you're both still together. Your union with her becomes so tender, so terribly dear and close. You're both that near to perfect oneness. It can be like this with faith, with God, with compassion and understanding, with trust in soul and heart. It can be like this. And if it is, the reward becomes a lifetime of happiness on a level unimagined in common hours. Well, what an article that is. God wants man as husband and woman as wife together to give each other their conjugal rights. Paul delicately discusses that matter in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 3. There we read, "Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Also, we read of the subject in other places in the Bible. In Hebrews 13 and verse 4, the Bible reads, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." In Genesis 26 and verse 8, we read, "And behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife." Sporting there is translated from a Hebrew word, which also could be translated caressing. Biblical sex is not dirty, not back alley kind of sex. Biblical sex is of God, Genesis 1 and verse 28. Sex is confined in the Bible to marriage, 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 2 makes that very clear. Biblical sex is tender, intimate, beautiful, and sacred. It is one of those things that in Genesis 1 and verse 31, God saw was very good. A husband and wife team, according to the Bible, will put one another first. Jesus said in Matthew 19 and verse 5, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." So then, the mate comes before parents, before children, before occupation, before friends, before hobbies, before self. None of those relationships intrinsically are wrong, but they are wrong when you put them with a higher priority than you put your wife or your husband. God's instructions to husband and wives as team is to be faithful to one another. Remember your vows. No amount of disinterest, sexual or otherwise, gives one the right for infidelity. Proverbs 12 and verse 7 reads, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." Proverbs 31 and verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies?" Biblical examples of how not to be are found in several places. I call your attention to one that's found in Genesis 39, beginning in verse 7, and it concerns the actions of Potiphar's wife. There the Bible reads, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, Look, my master does not know what is with me in this house. He has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you're his wife. How then can you do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And so it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her, to lie with her, or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went to the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment and said, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she was very angry. Well, there's an example of someone trying to do that which is sinful, someone trying to cause an adulterous relationship, trying to bring about fornication, trying to take that which is beautiful in the eyes of God and put it into an environment that is evil, dirty in the sight of God. If you read of the wife of Gomer in the book of Hosea, the first three chapters, you'll see another example of how a relationship, how a wife should not be. I'll tell you, there is a belief, I think, common among some men that this standard is just for the women, but that's not true. Men must realize there's no double standard of purity within the Bible. In Malachi, the second chapter in verse 15, the Bible says, "Let none deal unfaithfully with his wife." Look at what marital infidelity does. First, it gives the mate the right to sever the marriage relationship and to remarry. You learn that in Matthew 19 and verse 9 and Matthew 5 and verse 32. Second, it identifies the person as being untrustworthy. Third, unless repentance is made, it condemns a person to the flames of hell forever. You learn that in Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. We should understand that as a husband or as a wife, we should never do anything in our companion's absence that we wouldn't do in their presence. Well, the God gives instructions to men as husbands and women as wives to share life together. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, we learn that husbands and wives are to be heirs together of the grace of life. Judges, the 13th chapter, there was a beautiful togetherness between Manoah and his wife. Well, about Zacharias and Elizabeth, we read, they were both righteous before God. Luke 1, verse 6. In Malachi, the second chapter, in verse 14, we see the Bible speaks of the wife as thy companion, and the idea there is one of sharing. This is not, I'll take care of my business and you take care of yours. Management is a team effort. The word we comes before the letter I in the word wedding. And there's a lesson there. Thus, it's our car, our money, our vacation, our house, our children, our goals. We go places together. We visit together. We worship together. We pray together. God wants the husband and the wife to make each other happy. In Jeremiah 16 and verse 9, we find statements of joy. The voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. In Proverbs 5 and verse 18, the Bible reads, "Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." Don't be like Ahab, who was sullen and wouldn't eat because a business deal fell through in 1 Kings 21, verse 5 and 6. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest." The responsibility to keep a good disposition is for both the husband and the wife. Either can kill the party. Proverbs 21 and verse 19, the Bible says, "It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." Happiness, in a lot of ways, is serendipitous. It comes back through self-giving. The more we think of our companion, the more we consider our companion, the more we serve our companion, the happier we will be. Happiness in marriage is not an elusive dream. A happy marriage is the bud of which heaven is the blossom. God wants man as a husband and woman as a wife to maintain communication with one another. And that's more involved than just talking, isn't it? It's talking about sharing things in common, sharing our thoughts, sharing our plans, sharing our feelings, sharing our intentions. I think that there are four basic areas of communication that are important in having the kind of relationship with a mate in marriage that we want. The first is the most important, and that's spiritual, sharing of our love for Christ with one another. How much do you and your companion talk about the church? How much do you visit together and go to gospel meetings together? Did you marry a Christian? It's so much easier, isn't it, being married to someone whose goals and life is prioritized like yours? It's so difficult to go separate ways and at the same time be one. Make sure that you have good spiritual communication together. The next kind of communication is intellectual. Reveal your thoughts and your feelings. Be open. Share your ideas and your concepts. But just as important, if not more so than that, is to listen to your mate's ideas and concepts. The third kind of communication is physical. That's the kind that Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 through 5 that we read earlier. Sex is the means of communicating your deepest feelings of affection. Failure in that communication oftentimes results in divorce. Finally, we communicate emotionally. Oftentimes, we must repeat our feelings. We must repeat that we love you. We thank you. We must say that we're sorry when we make mistakes. Those kinds of emotional bindings build strength and provide stability to the marriage relationship. God wants man as a husband, and woman as a wife, to help one another go to heaven. In 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 16, "For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save the husband, or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" Noah, in Genesis 7 verse 8 and Hebrews 11 and verse 7, saved his wife by following God's plan to build an ark so that his family could be spared their life when the great flood came because of the wickedness in the world. You and I can save our mate by the kind of relationship that we have with the Lord, the kind of relationship that is easier to do when we do it together. Hannah was a great asset to Elkanah in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 19 in doing those things pleasing to the Lord. Zacharias and Elizabeth walked blamelessly together, Luke 1, verse 5 and 6, as they served the Lord. I don't know if you've ever heard of Olivia Langdon. She was a Christian when she married Mark Twain. Mark Twain was an unbeliever. Olivia thought that her sweet spirit and devout faith would soon win Mark Twain over. In their first few months, thanks was given before every meal, and the Bible was read every day. But soon it stopped. Twain complained about the formality of it. They also stopped attending church together. Olivia gave up her spirituality through her husband's philosophy. When she lay on death's bed, her husband said, "Livy, if it comforts you to lean on a Christian faith, do so." Olivia answered, "I can't. I haven't any left." How will you feel if you cause your mate to be lost in eternity? I cannot imagine of a worse thing that could happen to someone that is loved. Well, in conclusion, here's the kind of husbands and the kind of wives that we need. We need husbands like Jacob, who really loved their wives. Genesis 29 and verse 20, "So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed but a few days to him because of the love that he had for her." We need husbands like Elkanah, who will go to worship with their wives, 1 Samuel 1, verse 19. "And they arose early in the morning, and they worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house." We need husbands like Manoah, who will pray with and for their wives, like we read in Judges, the 13th chapter. We need husbands like Zacharias, who will live righteously with their wives, Luke 1, verse 5 and 6. "And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all of the commandments and requirements of the Lord," verse 6. We need husbands like Joseph, husbands who will not embarrass their wives. Joseph didn't. Matthew 1 and verse 19 says, "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly." We need husbands like Aquila, who will work for Christ with their wife. Acts 18, verse 24 through 28 shows Aquila and his wife Priscilla working together for the Lord. We need wives like Sarah, the kind that will respect their husbands, like Sarah did in 1 Peter 3, the first 7 verses. We need wives like Elizabeth, who will be righteous with their husbands, Luke 1, verse 5 and 6. We need wives like the wife of Manoah, who will maintain a sacred togetherness with her husbands, the kind that we read about in the 13th and 14th chapter of the book of Judges. We need wives like Rachel, wives that will encourage their husbands like Rachel did in Genesis 31 and verse 16. She said, "Whatever God has said to you, Jacob, do it." Isn't that wonderful? We need wives like Priscilla, who will be helpers and soul winners with their husbands. In Acts 18 and verse 18, we read, "And Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren and went out to sea for Syria, and with him were Aquila and Priscilla." We need wives like Peter, wives that will assist in qualifying their husbands for leadership in the church. In Mark 1 and verse 30, we read that Peter had a mother-in-law, thus proving without a doubt that he had a wife. In 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 4, Peter is an elder of the church. We go to 1 Timothy 3, verse 4 and verse 11, and we see that one of the qualifications for an elder was being married or having a wife. So we see without fail that Peter had a wife, and she helped him to be qualified to serve God as an elder or a leader of the church. Well, this ends our studies on man as a husband and woman as a wife. I hope it's been interesting for you and valuable to everyone that's married or planning to enter into such a state. All of these Go and Teach lessons are available to you in the form of tapes or CDs. There's never any charge for these valuable study aids. If you want any or all of the broadcast, just access our website, www.montevistacoc.com. That's www.montevistacoc.com. Give us your name, mailing address, and the topics that you want mailed. At the Monte Vista Church of Christ, we value the Word of God as the only authority in religion. We have no creed but the Bible. At Monte Vista, we offer a full range of spiritually focused opportunities for those that are interested in pure Bible study. Come and join us sometime at the church located at 2202 North 40th Street. It's on the west side of the road. See what first century Christianity is like. Well, until next time, my prayer is that each of us has an unusual opportunity to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.